Shalom, mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile, it's finally come down to form one new man, one new species of being that never existed before. We're getting ready to blow the grandest shofar, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere to understand one of the biggest, fastest moving heresies in the body of believers today. I have Dr. Michael Brown, and we're talking about his brand new book. It's not in the stores yet, but we have it available. It's called Hyper Grace, subtitled Exposing the Dangers of the Modern Grace Message. Now, Mike, I just find it hard to believe that some people are teaching on such a marvelous subject of true biblical grace. You and I would not be here if there wasn't true biblical grace. But I find it so difficult to believe that some people are teaching some of the things we'll talk about today and that others are believing it. For instance, some are saying, has God already forgiven all of our future sins so we can do anything we want?
Well, see, here's what they'd say. None of them would say you can do whatever you want. The problem, again, is human nature being what it is. People struggling, the flesh being what it is, temptation, the world, Satan. We know there's a lot in the New Testament that addresses purity of life and conduct and so on. If you're told your future sins have already been forgiven, and that leads to a few other things. I have several chapters in my book that just deal with this. And by the way, the book is written so anyone can pick it up, whether you've been saved 6 months, whether you're a pastor or leader. Anyone can pick it up, read it, follow it. I document every single quote, even something from the internet, everything taken in context, nobody treated unfairly. I say a hearty amen to all the good points these folks are making and then say, caution, caution, danger. So here's the thing. If you are told that all your future sins were forgiven, the moment you got saved, God not only said, Sid, I forgive you. Mike, I forgive you. Mike, I forgive you for shooting heroin, for stealing money from your father, for your pride, for your rebellion, for your lust, for your sin, for everything else. I forgive you of everything you've ever done. I give you a clean slate. I pronounce you righteous, my child. Not only that, he also said, Mike, I have already pronounced you forgiven for every sin you'll ever commit for the rest of your life. Don't be sin conscious. Don't think.
And by the way, that's a very important phrase. I'm the one, you know, 30, 40 years ago, there was legalism. Today, there is hyper grace. They're both just as bad. Except the legalism, you may not lose your salvation. With the hyper grace, I think you could.
Well, see, legalism drives a lot of people away from Jesus. I hate legalism. Legalism is externally imposed religion. Legalism is laws without love. It's standards without a savior. It's rules without a relationship. And it drives a lot of people away from God because they think God's just there with some stick. And see, Sid, some people have very sensitive consciences. They do one wrong thing. A mom yells at her kid during the day. A guy has a stray thought during the day, and they think, oh, no, God hates me. God's upset with me. Just like that church I grew up in, you know, if the men wore jewelry or a wedding ring, they were in the flesh. If I went to see a G-rated movie with my family, I was going to hell. So now they hear a message of grace and forgiveness, and you're accepted because of what Jesus did. It's not by your works. God loves you even on your worst day. And they hear these wonderful truths, and it liberates them. I'm free. But then it gets mixed with this error that says, Sid, the moment you got saved, God forgave past sins, present sins, and future sins, rather than what Scripture says, Jesus paid for them all. And forgiveness is transacted when we come to God and confess and recognize our sin or ask for mercy. So if I'm told, Mike, all your future sins are forgiven, don't have a sin consciousness. Okay, so now, God forbid, I go out and blow it. I start losing my temper all the time around my family, around my friends. And someone says, Mike, something's wrong. You're out of control. No, 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 man. You're putting condemnation on me. That's sin consciousness. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm under grace. I'm not under law. See, that's what is happening. And this
now,
is not,
what will it lead to if it isn't stopped? What will that lead to, in your opinion?
Hardness of heart, backsliding, and possibly ultimately denying Jesus walking away from God.
So that's the same thing that happened with the legalism 30-40 years ago. It's the flip side. The devil couldn't succeed with the legalism, but now he's coming in the back door.
Exactly. And see, here's what I'm jealous for. I'm jealous for the person who has a sensitive conscience. I'm jealous for the person who says, but Sid, the Bible tells me I'm to love God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength, and love my neighbor as myself, and I can't do it. And so we want to bathe them in grace. We want to bathe them in favor. We want to bathe them in the understanding that we are carried by what Jesus has done. He's our strength. He's our power. And then here's what we need to recognize. Hyper-grace teachers also say we are not supposed to confess our sins to God and ask for forgiveness because we've already been forgiven. Some even say it's a sin to confess sin to God and ask for forgiveness. You say, well, what about 1 John 1:9? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins.
And that was written to believers,
right,
not to non-believers.
Across the board, I documented Sid in my book, quote after quote. They say, no, no, no. There were Gnostics. There were these people who held to a heretical belief that were part of John's congregations. And that letter was addressing the Gnostics who claimed to be without sin and encouraging them to turn in faith and be saved. Number one, there was no such thing as Gnosticism in a hardened form in that day. There were the beginnings of Gnostic beliefs, but nothing that you could call Gnosticism. Let's just say the beliefs were circulating. But what John makes absolutely clear is that the heretics had left. 1 John 2, they went out from among us. 1 John 4, we have overcome them. So the they is always the heretics on the outside. Every top John scholar in the world that I've read recognizes that the heretics are outside. John is talking to believers and saying, look, if we say we have no sin, like some of these Gnostics say, we deceive ourselves. And then here's what's really important. Anyone that can read Greek knows this. You don't have to be a Greek scholar. The Greek is ongoing present if we confess our sins in an ongoing way. Sid, the Greek is very precise. It's a precise, clear language. It's not saying if one time when we get saved, we confess our sins. It's saying this is a way of life. Now, here's why it's important. I blow it. I'm driving here. A car cuts me off. This didn't happen, hypothetically. A car cuts me off. I lean on my horn. I yell, you jerk, what are you doing? And I say, Father, Lord, I'm so sorry. Wash me, cleanse me. That's not me. That's not who I am. I'm your child. I love you. I want to serve.
And you get your peace back all of a sudden.
But if I don't do that, because I'm the righteousness of God in Christ and I can't even talk about that, now it allows hardness to come in. Now it allows justification of my sin to come in because, hey, God doesn't see it. Sid, it is taught in hyper-grace circles that God doesn't see your sin ever. And every day he looks at you, Sid, no matter what you're doing or how you're living, he's thrilled with you and is singing your praises. That's contrary to the entire New Testament. And you have to say, if we're never supposed to be conscious of sin, why does Paul bring it up in his letters all the time? Why does Jesus bring it up in his teaching? It's because sin is deadly. Sin is destructive. And God in his love and goodness and kindness convicts us, not condemns us. Condemnation is get away from me. You're guilty. Conviction is come near to me.
You know what I'm thinking? Here we have Hollywood saying sin is okay. We have television saying sin is okay. We have our education system saying there's no absolutes. And now we have a large segment of the church.
God doesn't see your sin.
Yeah.
No matter what you do, God doesn't see it. And it doesn't affect anything.
What? That is, I hate to say this, but that is a brilliant strategy of the devil.
It is.
It's a masterful strategy. Mike, why did you write the book?
I was compelled to write the book, number one, because I love the grace of God and I hate to see something polluted. Number two, because I was watching life after life get picked off and destroyed. Number three, because pastors and leaders from around the world are saying, Mike, please write a book, get this out. In fact, through you, Sid, we were able to bump up the publication date by 5 months to get this out. That's how urgent
God
it is.
God wants this. I did what I had to do, but it was really God. I mean, I'm telling you that you, if it's not you, you have friends and family that are going to get into this heresy, and Mike has quotes. He has names. You know, I was talking to our mutual friend Steve Hill about naming names, and he said, Sid, did you know in the New Testament when people were into heresy, their names were named right in the New Testament?
And here's the thing. I want to help people, so I say amen to the good things. Some of these people have gone off the deep end and are not even in the Lord anymore. But those who are our brothers and sisters, I plan on being with them for eternity. I'm jealous for them, too. I'm saying, I have a corrective for you. I'm reaching out to you. This is such a great message. Some of them have a great revelation of grace, but they got so caught up with it, they forgot to stay tethered to the Word and start denying scriptural truths or rewriting things. And especially if you can read the Hebrew and Greek, you throw the teaching out in a split second. I've reached out to them so far without success, but I'm hoping that some will recognize the error that they're mixing with the truth and will come right back to Scripture.
And the anger that I bump into when I talk about, but look at this scripture, and they start calling me names using scripture.
Yeah, one guy started calling me a jerk on my Facebook page, and I said, you know, I don't take comments like that. I didn't know if he was a believer or not. I said, I hope you really come to know God's grace and love. He writes back furious, how dare you say I don't know God's grace and love? How dare? It gets really nasty with me. And I said to him, you know, actually, if you were really touched by God's grace and love, I would expect a different response. I have a whole chapter on name calling, judgmentalism, divisiveness in the name of grace. Sid, I have never seen something nastier, more divisive in the body than the so-called message of grace that's going forth today.
You know, we were talking about, they say there's no need to confess sin, to repent, and the Holy Spirit doesn't even convict of sin anymore. What a setup by the devil. I've got to get the defining book on the hyper-grace movement into your hands. Names, exact quotes. There'll be no guesswork from a scholar in the Greek and the Hebrew, Dr. Michael Brown. And as a bonus, we have a CD of Dr. Brown explaining from the Greek and the Hebrew to understand true grace for a gift of $25, the name of the book, Hyper Grace. To hear this week's interview or watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 704-943-6500. That's 704-943-6500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278.